Already the horror fades from our minds of the brutal killing of 12 students and one teacher at Columbine High School in Colorado. Memories of the frantic voice of a young girl begging for her life. Of another young girl, a Christian, witnessing a good confession that she belonged to her Savior and then being killed. Very quickly, that event joins a growing list. Jonesboro, Arkansas, Paducah, Connecticut, Pearl, Mississippi, Springfield, Oregon. Parents send their children to school with fear. Teenagers come to school apprehensive. Polls are taken, asking students whether they feel safe and whether the security systems now being in place are adequate. And yet one question persists and burns to be answered. Why? Why do these things happen? The human mind rejects such events as meaningless and unrelated, and so politicians and psychologists and newscasters and commentators seek to furnish the American people with some type of plausible explanation. Why? Governors are quoted as saying that a virus is loose on our culture. Time magazine and other magazines offer the insight that the bottom line is you need a particular environment imposed on a particular biology to turn a child into a killer. Others speak of risk factors of coming from a family where there is a known history of criminal violence or abuse. Others speak of gangs, abuse of drugs, problems at school, gun control. Others speak of the biology of violence, neurological problems that impair correct thinking, and some even insist that it's related to one's diet and that we should eat less eggs and drink less milk. The world cannot come to an answer. Why? The answer can only be found when we look to heaven. It can only be found when we come to God and to God's Word. There we find the answer. When that answer now is given to us from the Word of God, it is not spoken without sympathy, without feeling for those who suffer under such tragedies. It is not spoken with an attitude of being holier than thou, but it is spoken as a believer who is convicted with all Christians that we must direct our life, our attitude, and our thinking by the Word of God, and that it's the Word of God which tells us why man is what he is, and why the world is what it is. Why? Why do such things happen? Well, the Word of God points us, first of all, to the depravity of the human heart. The Word of God tells us that we must not begin by looking at outside influences, not even at the biology of the brain, but the problem of man and your problem and my problem is to be found in the heart. A heart which is corrupted in sin. What happened was an example of the sinful human depravity of a heart. The problem does not simply find its solution in a few isolated events or a few isolated people, but the Word of God teaches us that all are fallen into sin, and that sin is depravity, and that man's problems do not begin from outside of himself, but are to be traced within. The Savior said in Mark chapter 7, at verse 14, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man." The Scripture states the problem correctly, states it honestly and forthrightly. that man's problem is the depravity of his own heart. Romans chapter 3. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seek after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Man is a fallen sinner from God. And mankind and the human heart is as depraved as it can be. The problem is sin. Sin which began already in paradise when Adam transgressed the command of God, and sin which brought devastating consequences. For the first parents, Adam and Eve, were grieving parents. Cain, their son, killed their son, Abel, his brother. According to our human nature, it is especially when we are spurned, when we are ostracized, that then there is a reaction, that we think that those who have hurt us, or we imagine that they have hurt us, our human nature becomes filled with envy, hatred, resentment. The human heart, apart from the grace of God, is a world of iniquity, deceitful, and filled with evil. If you would have the answer as to why, then God's word points you to the stark, inescapable reality of the depravity of human nature. But the word of God goes beyond that. The scriptures make plain that these things begin to happen, and sin develops in all of its gross forms because of a widespread rejection of the truths of God. Today, the truths of God are cast aside, and man claims that there shall be no consequence for spurning the truth of the living God. But not so. For instance, the truth that man was created by God, that is set aside today by the theory of evolution. America says that they can forget God, that man is simply a complex amoeba, that man is not a spiritual being related to God or responsible to God. We can throw all of that out. Man is simply a product of evolution. He came from a lower life form, and he's simply expressing evolutionistic urges within him. They say to us that as you can't tell a horse to be faithful to its mare, as you cannot tell a lion to quit killing, so also you cannot tell man not to find and to do what he finds within him. Man must be free to do what he feels urged to do. And so, instead of submitting to the word of God, man says, this is the rule that we will live by. If it feels good, do it. Politicians say, well, one thing for sure, we must get rid of the violent games on videos and the violent movies. Yes. But as they speak, what about abortion? In abortion, there is violence. In abortion, it's very plain that there are no stuntmen. There are no video graphics. But there is the killing, the taking of life. We live in a society in which a young man hears that a girl is pregnant, but now she's not pregnant. Why? Because there was a real, violent destruction of human life. Still more, there's the widespread rejection of morality as it is given by God. Our society says that there are no absolutes. Our society says, who gives you the right to say what is wrong and what is right? They reject the law of God. Especially, there is the widespread rejection of eternal damnation, of punishment for sin, of the results of wickedness. They say that any church which would proclaim the truth of the scriptures of eternal punishment is simply a church that is to be dismissed as a relic of a twisted past. But what does the scripture say? The scriptures are very plain that the wages of sin are death. The Lord himself, more than any other in the scriptures, spoke of the fact that there is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, of fire, where the worms die not. The Lord's own words were that to many he would say in the day of judgment, Depart from me, I never knew you. Enter into the pit, consigned for the devil and all of his angels. Man refuses to hear the truth of the judgment of God. As a nation, we have engaged in the wholesale rejection of the truth of eternal hell. As a nation, we have engaged in the wholesale idea that man is cut loose from God, cut loose from accountability to God. Cut loose from God. There is nothing anymore which is absolutely wrong or right. But still more. Our culture feeds on perversity. Our culture idolizes evil. And then at the same time, dares to ask, why? The Word of God, again, is very plain. The Word of God warns us up front of the power of a sinful influence. The Word of God tells us that sin is not a neutral blob, but that sin is a power to infect and to control and to pervert. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, evil communications corrupt good manners. That is, a person's companions and what other people say and do in their presence wears off and affects you. We live in a society of video games, violence, movies, blowing people away, sadistic rock music. Supposedly, we're told that when you watch that stuff, it won't have any influence on you at all, that you'll still be able to make informed and intelligent decisions. When even little children mimic the movie hero who grabs his revolver and blows someone away. When they play the video game of a person walking down the hall, shooting at anything that pops up, and doing it for hours. When there is the transvestite, Marilyn Manson, minister of the Church of Satan, giving out his song, Get the Gun, pictures of skulls. But there's no connection, they say. No connection between that and what happens. Perhaps I cannot connect all the dots for you. I cannot say to you, well, the reason is 25% the movies that are shown, and 34% the video games, and 41% the music and the sadistic rock. I can't tell you how much each of them perhaps contributed. But if you deny that there is a connection between our society, which idolizes perversity, and what happens in these events when students are slaughtered. If you deny the connection, the Word of God says you are a fool. What about you as a child of God today? You play the video games? Is your video game playing pleasing to God? Do you use the computer in a way that is pleasing to God? What about your TV watching? Does that TV watching desensitize you to the horror of death and of murder? What about the shame that the Word of God speaks to us of fornication, of adultery, of uncleanness? What about your music listening? The music that you listen to, does it enhance your walk with God? Does it draw you closer to God? Does it set your heart upon spiritual things? Or young people, is your unwritten rule concerning the music that you listen to, is it this? Parents are not allowed. My parents must not know what I listen to. Is that your rule for the music that you listen to? Do you fear the influence of evil? Do you hear the Word of God? Do you understand what pornography does? Do you know what evil will do when you take evil and make it a plaything? Do you know what it will do? Or must we as a child of God one day wake up and say, how did I get into this? The reason is to be found in the depravity of man. The reason is to be found in the rejection of the truths of God. The reason is to be found in a culture and a society which feeds on perversity. The reason is to be found in that our nation is given over by God to its sins. I find no delight in saying that, but that is the Word of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 is the portion that we must study. In verse 18 we read, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. God is God. He is righteous and He is holy. And when men insist on their ungodliness and on their unrighteousness and defending it, that passage goes on to teach that God in His righteousness gives a man over, because that when they knew not God, we read, verse 21, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Passage goes on to say that God then, verse 24, gave them up to their uncleanness, to the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Goes on to speak of the perversity of homosexuality and lesbianism. God sits in His heavens. God is God. God judges a nation which rejects His truth. God judges a nation which spurns His law. God judges a nation which insists that it will defend what He calls evil and unrighteousness, murder and perversity. The judgment that God sends to such a nation is to give a nation over to its spiritual darkness. The most chilling words that I could ever read in the Bible are these words, and God gave them up. What did He give them up to? Well, if you read Romans chapter 1, you find out that He did not give them up simply to an army to invade. He did not give them up to war to devastate. He did not give them up to communism to take away liberty. He did not give them up even to economic disaster and poverty. No, no. Verse 28 of Romans chapter 1, He gave them over to a reprobate mind. When man insists upon his evil, God in His righteousness gives him over to his evil so that man becomes thoroughly corrupt and evil in his heart. Our nation has made a god out of me. It's called the me generation. Life must be interpreted in terms of how I feel, what I want. Everything must revolve around me. I'm the great, big, beautiful me. That's idolatry. God is God, the only living God who must be loved and served. And when a society preaches false gods and makes each one God, that society stands before the wrath and the judgments of God. Our society thinks that it can campaign against God, and that it can do so without consequences. Our society insists that it can say, no God, and will not suffer the judgments of God. But just because our society says that does not make it so. What is our hope? The only hope? The only hope is the grace of God. The grace of God which will save. The grace of God which is able to break down the iron bars of the heart, and it must do that if we are to be saved. The grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ to redeem us from our sins. The Holy Spirit to change our hearts and to bring us into obedience to the law and will of God. Not gun control, not security guards at the school. A man must be born again. God himself must change the heart. Only in the way of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only in the way of a faith given of God, which bows to the Word of God and says, I am not God. I do not sit upon the throne of my heart. I do not determine what is right. I do not exist for my pleasures. The most important thing is not me, but a faith which says, the only important thing is God, that I might know him, obey him, trust him, serve him, and belong to him through Jesus Christ. That's the Word of God. Do you hear it? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we hang our heads in sorrow, for we confess our depravity and our sin. We find that every evil exists within our hearts, especially, O Lord, when thy word is open to us, then we cannot say that there is a sin that we could not commit or that we have not entertained in our own hearts, for we are sinners. And a sinner is one who is vile and corrupted and dead. O Lord, we thank thee for the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for his powerful salvation. We thank thee for the assurance that thy word shall prevail, that it shall renew thy children and bring them out of their sins, in order that we might confess that thou art God, and that we might obey, love, and serve thee. Grant this through Jesus Christ thy Son. Amen.